This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Imagine leaving a legacy that lights up lives for generations to come. A legacy that continues to inspire, educate, and move people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Iman Legacy is your opportunity to be a part of this journey. Together, we can ensure that these efforts continue for generations.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah al-azim al-khabir al-muta'ali. Alhamdulillah al-lazi la tuhjibuhu zulumat al-layali. Alhamdulillah al-lazi arsal jibal al-awali. سبحانه من إله عظيم يغفر الذنوب ولا يبالي لا إله إلا الله بها نحيا وبها نموت وبها نلقى الله وبها نوالي وأشهد أن عظيمنا وقدوتنا ومولانا قرة عيني محمد ابن عبد الله عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أرسله كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة فكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين اللهم فاجزه عنا خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته وَرَسُولًا عَنْ دَعْوَتِهِ وَرِسَالَتِهِ وَبَعْدِ. Ladies and gents, brethren and sisters, friends and colleagues, as I sit here before you, there are hundreds, possibly thousand, faces that look back at me. Each face has a story behind it. You have joys you have experienced, sorrows you have felt, traumas you have overcome. My purpose here today is not to trigger any of the sad memories you've had in the past. It is not to make you relive difficult moments. Rather, the mic, the pulpit, the stage is an amana. It has a purpose, and the purpose is that we teach and lead the future generation so that they are safe from some of the possible pitfalls that others have traversed over. And since my aim is the future generation, this, dear ones, is my passion and profession and vocation. In the Western educational system, kids enter school at nursery and they graduate at the end of high school. That's after some 14 years of study. And then they go on to further education, whether that's universities or colleges or something else. The essence of education in the West is two things. It teaches a child to become literate, so that it means that they can read, they can process basic information, they can communicate, and they become numerate, which means they can do basic mathematics. It is essentially designed so that when the student graduates, he goes and fits into and fills positions in the big industrial machine so that commerce can keep moving, life can keep moving. But for the 14 years that he studies in school and the 4 or 5 years that he studies at university, there's another factor affecting him. There's another means of instruction that is coming into his head. And that is popular culture. And popular culture for the youth is essentially about relationships. So through music, through TV, through media, there's a subtle subliminal messaging going into the child's head, the growing man's head, the growing female's head. That's to find a partner, find a girl, have a swell time, have fun, live a few good days. And the girl's head's the same. All songs are about love and about relationships. TVs are all romantic comedies. The whole bombardment is constantly this. So it's telling him, teaching him, promoting him, pushing him towards finding a partner. And if he is decent and she is decent, they will satisfy this calling through halal. As in, they will get married or want to get married. And Allah protect us from the haram, Ya Rab. But notice one thing, dear ones. For this yearning of marriage, for this foundation of life, for this relationship and life partner, he has not had a single day's training. In the 14 years of university, and then the 14 years of schooling, and 4 or 5 years of university, they did not spend a single day to teach him how to be a father and how to be a mother. So he is ill-equipped, unprepared, grossly untrained for the greatest chapter of his or her life. And that would have been bad enough. That would have been bad enough. That now the young man, the young woman, gets into this whirlwind of marriage and relationship. And by that I mean the halal marriage relationship. Not only is he inadequately prepared, not only is he ill-trained, but there's an enemy, an adversary, very well-trained, who is there to break this union apart. So the Prophet ﷺ told us that every day Shaitan gathers his minions, his soldiers, his workers, and he sits on a throne himself, and they sit in front of him, or they stand in front of him, they assemble in front of him. And then he asks, what have you achieved today? What KPIs have you met today? What targets did you hit today? So a person comes and says, I made 2 Muslims fight. So he goes, no big deal. Other Muslims will come and make them make up and mend fences and become friends again. And another one will say, I achieved this. He goes, no big deal. And then a person comes, one of the workers of Shaitan, and he says, I caused the Muslim family to divorce. So he goes, come. And he places a crown of achievement on his head. Forgive me for this, dear ones, because I know there are people in my audience who have pain with regards to relationships. They have been through difficulty, and I pray Allah Rabbul Izzah grant you better, Ya Rab. And my aim is not to trigger the traumas that you have lived through, and I pray Allah Rabbul Izzah improves your lives and the lives of the Muslims, Ya Rab. But I want to ask the question, why is Shaitan so bent on divorce? Like, why is this such a huge achievement for him? From a simple analysis, the unit in Islam is family. When that unit disintegrates, when it breaks, when it falls apart, each component of that unit falls prey to everything outside. So, the wife that was seeking the divorce, and data shows that 75% of divorces are initiated by women. Now, the day after the divorce, the month after the divorce, the months after the divorce, she looks around that, hold on, I don't have a husband anymore. There's no household and family anymore. I need security. So she starts looking for plan B and a partner and a husband. But now she's got history and possible baggage. And I don't mean, don't misunderstand. This is not judgment. This is recall of what happens. So now, in a more desperate situation, in a more vulnerable situation, she's out there looking and will do things and fall prey things and slip into things that if she were in a different state, she wouldn't have done that. So her values are slightly compromised. Her approach is slightly compromised. She falls prey. The husband is going through the same thing as well. And he is falling prey as well to mistakes. The kids do not have a full-time father or a full-time mother. And at times they use this against that and that against this. And do you see now each component of that unit is falling prey? And to me and you, it's a bad thing. To a capitalistic society, it's a good thing. Because the god of a capitalistic society is money. So, if one house, it means you're only renting one house. You've only got one fridge. You've only got one TV. But if you separate the unit, now the mom has to go get her own house. So she pays for that. Kids will move to their houses. They pay for that. The husband moves to his house. He pays for that. More commerce comes out of it. Everyone has to buy a fridge. Do you understand me? They're okay with it. But in a faith-based society, we're about the prosperity of the human family. And in that way, dear ones, I want to highlight, first and foremost lesson, that in a time where divorce rates have reached 48 and 49%, to each young individual here, and to each parent here who has children, you must prepare your children for greater responsibility, and you must prepare yourselves for greater responsibility. Responsibility of being able to run a household. Responsibility of becoming a good father. Responsibility of being a good husband. Responsibility of being a good mother. Responsibility of running a good household. Responsibility of becoming a good wife. There was a time where children, from the day where they used to learn their right from their left, mothers and fathers used to train them, prepare them for greater responsibility. A girl would be taught, sweetheart, you will go to your husband's house one day. You need to do this like this. Your younger brothers and sisters, bring them up, because someday you will be bringing up your own little children. So gain experience. The father would take the son, come young man, let's go shopping, because soon you will have to do the shopping yourself. He was prepared. He was upskilled. Psychologically, he was ready for greater responsibility from a very young age. He had a responsible outlook. But now, training doesn't happen anymore. Kids are handballed to school. School just teaches them literacy and numeracy. They graduate. They finish university. He wants to get married. She wants to get married. So Allah grant them and guide them to khair. They get married. And then, total different business. So the first point, dear ones, the first point, if you're young, before you raise your hand that I want to get married, before you start thinking that, listen, I need a partner, I need a wife, make sure, dear ones, make sure you have the capacity to be a husband, make sure you have the capacity to be a father, make sure you have the associated competencies that go with it. Because imagine you have an aspiration. You want to be a heart surgeon someday. So you're like, I can't wait to do open cut heart surgery. Then someone has in front of you comes with a heart condition. And you're looking around, you have a knife and no skill, miskeen, no skill, no training, no preparation, but I want to do an open cut heart surgery. Same with marriage. And in this I want to mention a point. Psychologists say you can't be what you can't see. You can't be what you can't see. If we are going to become a successful community, we must role model successful parenting for our children. They must be able to see kindness. They must be able to see patience. They must be able to see forbearance. They must be able to see wisdom. As elders, we need to role model. And sometimes you lack the role model. Maybe it's not there at home. Maybe it's not there in the local community. Then Allah gave you the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Follow his example. To follow, you need to learn first. So go see how your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived. Get intimately aware of the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how he dealt with his wives. See how he dealt with them when they were happy. How he dealt with them when they were angry. How he dealt with them when there was no money. How he dealt with them when there was money. How he dealt with them in the ups and downs and rights and lefts of life. Learn lessons. Implement, embody, so that we can have successful families. So that our kids can grow up in holistic environments. So that they can become better individuals. And I wish to give a couple of words of simple advice. Dear ones, I mentioned a moment ago that a capitalistic society has a God called desire and a God called money. The Quran says, "Did you see the one who took his desires as his God?" So self-satisfaction, instant gratification, that's life. And that teaches you through popular culture, day in, day out, certain concepts that a house should be like this, family should be like this, role of husband is this, role of wife is this. That's society. Then there is a code. Then there is an expectation of a faith-based society. A society whose God is Allah. Listen to me, dear ones. You live in a time where you have to deliberately, consciously make a choice, make a decision, choose your God. You cannot have this God and this God. You have to choose. We have chosen, as is evident by your attendance here, Allah as our Lord. When you choose Allah as your Lord, the commands of Allah is no longer a choice. You have to comply. It's a package. So the paradigm of every sister in marriage needs to become a religious paradigm. The paradigm of every brother in marriage needs to become a religious paradigm. This was codified by the deen. The deen has taught you what your rights are and what your responsibilities are. You have to comply. I'll give you an example. Can I have a show of hands who here is employed in some capacity, part-time, full-time? Raise your hands if you have a job. At your work, whether you're flipping burgers and Maccas or whether you're in some high-rise building, you have a structure, yes or no? Like there's a store manager, there's a day manager, there's a night coordinator. You understand me? There's some structure. If you're a school, there's a head teacher, there's a headmaster, there's a principal. If you're in government, there's a prime minister and minister and the rest. There's a structure. Organizations cannot function without structure. There's a structure in family as well, dictated by the one above the heavens. Do you see when I tell you, you have to make a choice? You have to find your Lord, and then this is his dictates. الرجال قوامون على النساء. The structure Allah Rabbul Izzah has given, that men are the captains of this team. It's a structure he has given. Now I see the gents smiling. And if I could see the faces of the sisters, they'll be giving me the daggers, like, where did you come from? But it has connotations. Has anyone heard of organizations that have been run into the ground? Schools that don't function well. Hospitals that were not managed well. We've all seen media news on it. The question is, what caused it? Often, it is poor leadership. So my brothers who are smiling because you're the captains of this team, make sure you have the capacity to be an effective team leader. There is nothing worse than an inadequate leader. So if you want to lead, you want to teach, make sure you have knowledge to teach. Make sure you have capacity to lead. How can you be the captain of a ship, tasked, assigned a mission by the one above the heavens? You know what your mission is? Allah tasked you men with a mission. Listen to the verse. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from the fire. You have been assigned a task not to earn money, not to build houses, not to give luxuries. You were given a team. Your task was, listen, traverse over Jahannam. Move over Jahannam. Skip over Jahannam. Get into Jannah with your team. You're leading them onto this path to Jannah. And how could you lead when Fajr comes and you're asleep? How could you lead when you can't guide your and teach your family and your kids right and wrong? How can you lead and you're up to here in sin and then expect decency from your family? Do you see? It's an amana. So increase your capacity, dear ones. You don't need to become an alim. You don't need to become a scholar. But whatever task has been assigned in front of you, whatever challenge you're about to overcome, make sure you can teach and lead in that space. And for my dear sisters, since he has been assigned to lead, your job is to make leading easy for him and not difficult. None of you will go to work and give attitude to your bosses, to your chain of command, to your team leader. You were so happy to be compliant, so proud if someday he mentions your name in a meeting. All because you get a little perk and a little pay. You're happy for a structure there. You're happy to follow a code there. And then to the one who is working and striving and struggling night and day to bring food on the table and pay the bill and give you, you know, structure and support and comfort, and I hope they do, then for that one, you resist and make life difficult and make leadership difficult. Wisdom demands the opposite. So this lecture can go on for long because there's a lot in it. But essentially, I just want a couple of points out of this. Number one, dear ones, note that in this system, there's no training for the next generation for the most crucial aspect of their life, which is family. So because there's no training, it falls upon individual families, individuals, to upskill themselves, upgrade themselves, increase their capacity, increase their competencies, long before you raise your hand to say, I want to marry you, and I want to propose to you, and should I come to your father, and this and that. No point raising your hand for a job when you don't have the qualifications for it. And for my sisters, because Allah has given you a choice, an acceptance of marriage. As part of your capacity, you must have the intelligence to make a good choice. Because there's no force and compulsion in this upon you. And Allah Rabbul Izzah and the Prophet gave you mechanisms to choose. So he said, choose the one that has religion implemented in his character and in his life. Upskill Number two, if you're a parent and you have a child, role model good parenting to them. Know that the way you deal with conflict is the way that child will deal with conflict tomorrow. Know that if your way of coping is shouting and screaming and chucking a tantrum and throwing a bottle, that's what the child will do tomorrow. Role model the prophetic behavior. That's the second one. Third lesson, we are Muslims. We have a code of conduct. We have a code for marriage, and a blessed one, and one that works. Surrender to it, whether you're man or woman. I swear this to you by the one in whose hand is my life. No person has ever challenged what Allah in His Prophet has revealed, except that they have gone through misery, difficulty, hardship. There is no khair outside their guidance. So swallow your pride, swallow your ego, submit to the decree of heaven. Fourth point, for you who have been awarded responsibility, make sure you have the competency, capacity, effectiveness to handle the responsibility well. Otherwise, keep working on yourself till you become a better person. For your time and patience, I thank you. May the one above the heavens guide and guard you. فَقُلْتُ مَا قُلْتُ إِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ تَكُ سَيِّئَةً فَمِنْ نَفْسِي وَشَيْطَانِ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.